everybody. How are you? Get ready for a really wild, weird podcast. Episode 51. I don't like to call out the numbers, but it's an exciting number. 51. And quick plugs here at the top. Join the Patreon. That really helps the podcast. If you could go on to patreon.com/pretender2contender. You'll get extra episodes. You'll get everything that we promise on the Patreon, and you'll get video of the episodes and all that kind of stuff, you know, and everything else is free. If you ever want to listen to the podcast, you can listen to Pretender to Contender anywhere you listen to podcasts. Okay. The only gig I want to plug is February 12th. I will be in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, doing that big Valentine's show. You want tickets to that in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, for that's a Saturday, February 12th. Just go to joematarese.com and you can get tickets to that. All right. We got a great podcast in store for you. We have Balk. We have Balk by popular demand, Andrew Steiner. And he's up there to the top right. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling all right. I had a couple of glasses of wine. I feel loose. Feel good. It's late. We're recording late on a Tuesday, 9:38, and we have his fiance Francesca at the bottom here. I don't really even know your last name, Francesca.
Maglione.
Maglione. What a great name, Francesca Maglione. Wow, Andrew, I would have proposed just with the name, like before, like first date, Francesca Maglione and Andrew Steiner. They're a great couple.
She's not just my fiance; she is a comedian,
and she's a stand-up comic too, which is crazy. She's like a professional. She has like a science-like job, like my wife does, which she'll get into a little bit on this episode to explain. We also found out, I guess, we'll fade the music here, Caroline, who was on last week's episode, kind of, she didn't really want to be on the podcast every week, which was fine, right, Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you take what she said, why she didn't want to, you know, did I scare her?
Yeah, you scared her, Joe.
Did I?
Yeah, you definitely scared her.
What do you think scared her?
You were like telling her to share the episode with her friends and change her social media style and a lot of text messages in the course of a day.
That's funny you say that. That should be what this episode should be about. With my subject should be about how my wife says I start fights, that I sound angry in my texting.
You didn't sound angry. It's just like overwhelming.
Overwhelming. Yeah. I was just trying, I don't know. But at the same time, I gave her tons of compliments and I'm a huge fan. I think she's really funny.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's hilarious. So she'll be back on the podcast. She just didn't really want to commit to every week on it. I don't know if Francesca, are you ready? what would I have to do to scare you away? Is that even possible?
Definitely more than criticize my social media presence.
Really? Like, so. Okay. So that wouldn't bother you. Yeah. Cause she didn't have any comedy on her social media. It was just like her and her friends. I'm like, you're way too funny as a stand-up comedian to not be putting your comedy up on your page. Do you put any of your stand-up on your Instagram?
Not yet.
You never have either. You're holding. Yeah. And how long have you been doing stand-up?
3 years.
So what is your reason for keeping it off of there? You don't think it's worthy yet?
No, I don't think social media is worthy of my comedy.
Oh.
Andrew, why doesn't your fiance put social media on her? Do you put your stand-up up there, Andrew? Did I just say put social media on your comedy? Put two glasses of wine late at night.
At this point, I'm, you know, it's like if I'm not funny enough for social media, I might as well stop doing comedy. So,
right. And what are your goals? Do people call you Frankie or Francesca?
Both.
In the comedy world.
In the comedy world, I go as Francesca. And then sometimes I'll abbreviate it, but I usually introduce myself by my full name. But my goals with comedy, I don't know right now. I mean, I like performing in the city. I like performing in different places. I think Andrew and I maybe, you know, we would do like, we go on tour together. That's something we've discussed. It's going on tour, right. Traveling, doing shows.
It seems popular these days. Back, like, because I've been doing comedy so long, it was very rare for couples to both be doing stand up. And if they did, the couples like only dated for like a couple of months and it would fizzle out. I'm trying to think of who are the famous, but you know, now that I think about it, at the same time, I mean, in the history of comedy, there's been some pretty famous husband and wives, you know, like Stiller and Mira. Ben Stiller's dad and his wife.
Oh, they were comedians?
They were a comedy team. And George Burns and his wife were a comedy team. Mm. But you guys don't do comedy ever as a team.
No.
Have you ever?
No. We co-host sometimes.
You host a show together, kind of? Mm-hmm. Okay. I've seen like Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane do that, and they're hilarious because they bicker. And it like an old married couple, and then they're funny. Someone told me, who was it, was telling me they did a show with you guys, and you guys were both talking about some, like, and I don't even know if I could say it on the podcast. I have a feeling I can, but you guys were both doing some jokes about like being at a sex club or something, and then you didn't reveal that you guys are even a couple, like you were both on the same show talking about a similar subject. Did you ever reveal it?
No.
No.
we've talked about this privately, and it's not a secret. You know, I don't want Frankie to feel like, and she doesn't want me to make her feel like, that she's just my girlfriend, you know, or just my fiance. You know, she wants to be respected as her own comedian. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, you said that for me. Thank you, Andrew.
It would be like a funny little thing, though, if you did it on purpose and then revealed something in a weird way later in the show. Like, that's one thing, and I've said this on this podcast lately, that I miss that, and I call it the LA vibe. And the New York vibe is more like straightforward in comedy. Whereas I like that, like where you're almost messing with the crowd and then you reveal something in a funny way later in the show. And they're like, wait, what the fuck? Like, nobody does that in New York. No one does that like alt style of like weirdness.
I want to talk about that during my story time, if we get to me, because I feel like I hogged up too much time last time. But Joe, why don't we go into yours, because we skipped you last time.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, everybody. So Pretender and Contender, it seems like the last few weeks we just been kind of having fun and revealing things from our lives and kind of sharing them with whoever the co-hosts are and with you, the listeners. So there's a few things going on in my life. So you always wonder which thing you should bring up in the podcast. There's one big thing that if these people that have been listening to all my iterations of podcasts probably know, and it's usually in the summertime, because in the summertime I'm on the vacation with my wife and her whole family every year, except for the last few years, they would rent a house in Cape Cod with the whole family. And then I would go, and usually at some point of that trip, I had to do a podcast. And at some point during that, and there used to be a 2-week vacation, I wouldn't be getting along with my wife and I would be doing a podcast and explaining everything that's going on. So right now, kind of what's been going on is us trying to find the right house. And I said this to you, I think, before we were recording, how I don't text well, and that people get pissed off at me. I seem to push people the wrong way in text form. I don't know the reason.
Joe, you text giant paragraphs with lots of pressure.
Yeah, I don't know why. I always say, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm just going to call them. And then I get lazy and I don't call them. Because no one answers their phone anymore. So if you try to call, they just let it go to voicemail.
What about those things where you leave, like, you record like 10 seconds?
Voice memos.
That's what I probably should do. Those little – Todd Glass does those a lot. Whenever I have something to ask him, he always texts me back a recording of him giving the answer.
I love the voice memos.
A lot of – nobody does that. Do you have a lot of friends that do that?
No, I probably do it the most out of my friends.
Roger did that. Our surf instructor in Mexico did that.
And Frankie, what's the reason you do that? Do you just because it's easier?
Yeah, I think it's easier. Like if I'm going to tell someone a story or a dream I had, it's easier just to voice memo it. Or if I want to say good morning to Andrew, it's like a fun way, you know.
I get to hear your voice. I like to do it when I want the other person to know I have gas, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love it if my wife did that. She did voice memos. Hi. Maybe that, you know, maybe when we were engaged, she would have did that. Now that we're 16 years married with two kids, she's not doing that. And, you know, that'll be a later episode of this podcast. Things that she doesn't do that she did when we were in the engaged stage of the marriage that you wish you still did. Like, That should be a premise, like for a bit, that like I think I used to have a joke like that the vows should be like things that are like that, you know, that you're angry about that stop. Like all those basic ones in a, you know, I don't know what you guys are planning on doing when you guys get married. If you're going to have your typical vows or you're going to write your own things. But
Andrew, what's your main vow for me? You already know it.
I vow to shave your back for you.
Shave her back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you promise to shave your back time. Every yeah, 6 months?
I can't reach.
She's Italian. With a name like Francesca, I can't even say the last name again. Rinaldi, what was it?
Maglione. Is that if you said
Maglione.
It? Maglione.
Maglione, yeah, you're going to get a hairy back on that one.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. That's all right. Jews are, you're Jewish, right? Jews are hairy too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a hairy back?
Not too bad. I got like a couple stray hairs. We're trying to breed like hamsters. That's what we just want kids who look like they can fucking live on the streets.
Yeah, so the situation to continue basically is just we're planning this year. It's not my wife's whole family. It's my wife's sister, her husband, her two boys that are like the same age as my youngest. They're like 10, and I'm bad with ages. Do you guys have like nieces and nephews in your families yet?
Yeah, I don't know how old anyone is.
I'm terrible. I'm like, I think she's 10. I know how old my kids are, but their kids are like 10 and 11. If I had to guess, or I'm wrong. Maybe like 9 and 11, the youngest one. So, and Steph's mom and her husband, she's remarried to this guy, Noggin, who we all love. Noggin's like the chillest Indian man in the world. We love this guy.
Not just a smart guy you nicknamed Noggin.
No, that's
yeah, that was a nickname.
No, that's his name. Noggin. Noggin's the best, and he's coming. So I don't know if you've ever had to rent a place with multiple people, but like it started like all these high-end places. We were all texting, how about this one? And I'm like, they were phenomenal, right? And then I'd be like, yeah, let's do the one with the hot tub. One of them had a hot tub outside with a TV outside mounted on the back of the house. So I'm like, oh, that'll be great. We're sitting there having drinks late at night in the hot tub watching TV, you know, and it's really the house had a shuffleboard inside the house. I love that, like one of those old school sand shuffleboards where you throw a little, I love those. And they were like, no, that one's just, it's too pricey. I'm like, well, you guys sent it. Like, I'm not even picking these houses. So it was like, I must have been being nasty in my text because my wife's like, you got to, I don't know what you're doing, but you're coming hard. Kind of like what you said I did to Caroline. So I go, fine, I'll back off. You guys just, so I back off and I say, you just pick it. And like, you know, I go, she goes, my wife says this to me, I know what you want. I know your prerequisites, everything that you want. So you don't even have to worry because I know your things. I'm like, all right. Next thing I know, like 2 days later, she's sending me houses and wants my opinion. And I'm like, you said you didn't want my opinion. Now all of a sudden you want my opinion. Well, I meant I didn't want your opinion when we were doing a broad search, but now we have it narrowed down to like two or three. I want your opinion. And I'm curious how you guys feel because it would be great if we could have popped up pictures on this. I guess I could do it in post of the houses. But I don't know. Here's a little game we'll play. What do you think would be my number one most important thing on a beach vacation with kids?
Outdoor shower.
Ooh, I do like the outdoor shower.
Because you got to get the sand off. Otherwise, the kids are going to make the house a mess.
But that's not a number. That's not a number one or a deal breaker.
There's one thing.
A garage? Why would I like the way you said it. A garage.
Garage. That's where dads hang out. Yeah.
like I'm gonna be hanging in the garage, just hiding from people. Where'd you go?
Hammering something. What are you doing in there?
That's something like we used to make fun of my mom because my mom would treat rentals like they were her own house. I'm like, Mom, why are you cleaning the ceiling fan? It's a rental. Like, stop. No, not a garage. I actually don't. What about a garage is kind of nice if like you had like some really expensive, like if you had a really high end bike, you had to lock in a garage that you bring on vacation. I don't really have that.
A Sibian.
See, I love when Andrew goes for the laugh. He goes for the laugh. The fucking Sibian, yeah. A lot of the rentals come with a Sibian. That would be hilarious to send a text to my mother-in-law. There's no Sibian here, though. She wouldn't even know what it would take 20 minutes to tell her what a Sibian is.
Just send her the Howard Stern clip.
Do they still exist, or was that? I feel like that was just a Howard Stern item. Is that a thing still?
They had them at the sex club.
They had one at the sex club.
What do they have them? What are they mounted on? Like just the floor or?
On a mantelpiece.
It was up high?
You had to climb a ladder.
You have to throw the person up there?
They kept it in their garage.
Way onto it.
A garage.
It's in the garage. It's
the garage. I'll be right back. I'm going in the garage. Oh, he's going to the Sibian. I knew.
So I mean, bitch. I'm projecting on you, but what I would want is like quiet, like far. The rooms are separated, or something like that.
Well, that's probably almost from looking. I've been looking at so many houses over the years that I feel like, I kind of know what's out there, and that's if you wanted the bedrooms to be spaced out, you'd have to get a mansion. Like, and let's put it this way. And this is a smaller version of our trip. There's still 10. We got two families of four and Noggin and Ann, my mother-in-law and her husband. So that's 10. So that's 10 people. You want to space out 10. And I don't know if you can even imagine how much a rental costs in like Cape Cod for that many people.
$2,000. A night?
$8,000.
Well, that's funny. You said $2,000 a night. You have to, I love that on these sites, you got to decide. Do you want to know month? You want to do a weekly or do you want to know daily, like a night? We started out looking at houses for $1,500 a night. And now we were down to like $600 or $700 a night. Like we were looking at these crazy, and I was picking these expensive ones that they were sending. And then they would like say no. And then, so basically, we dropped our price way down to like $600 or $700. But at the same time, I had one thing. I'm like, this is all I want. And another reason I want it, they've never fucking done it. They never do it. Every time we go away, this is missing from the vacation, and
You're really building this
up. I am building this up. People that listen to my old podcast probably could guess. But and I think it's from growing up in Jersey. You lived in Jersey at some point in your life, right, Francesca?
Yeah. I'm
calling you Frankie.
Yeah.
What beach area did you grow to as a kid?
Sandy Hook, main one, Long Branch.
Okay, so Jersey Shore. So you know.
Yeah.
What's one? There's one thing at the Jersey Shore that comes with almost every Jersey rental house that doesn't come with Cape Cod.
Fire pit.
I'll just tell you what it is. Cape Cod's big and spacious, and it has a woodsiness to it. If you've ever been there, there's a lot of lakes in the middle. From you got the top of the Cape Cod, and then you have the bottom. So you have the ocean side, then you have the bay side. Now, in the Jersey Shore, there aren't any beaches at the bay. You just go to the ocean. That's it. But whenever you have a house at the Jersey Shore, even if you had the cheapest rental that's in the back of the Jersey Shore, it's like a 5 or 6 block walk and you're at the beach. When you go to Cape Cod, you could be a 15 minute drive from the bay or the ocean. Now, when you have kids, to me, there's nothing more fucking annoying than loading the car up every single day on vacation with all the beach stuff, going to the beach where there isn't anywhere to park either, unless you get some permit that you have to pay for, right? There's no parking spots like at the Jersey Shore. You got to get a permit, then you got to pay for the week to park in this lot. Some of them have like a tram that you got to take to get to the beach. So you got to dump all your stuff off, and then everybody gets out, you go to the beach for the day, and then you got to load it all back into the car, get all back to your rental, and then do it again the next day.
You guys need to go to
fucking. And this is what becomes a nightmare on these vacations, because they do that once. This is what happens. And they go, oh, that's such a pain in the ass. Next thing you know, we're going to a lake that you can walk to the whole week. I'm like, we just paid to be at the shore. And we're at the lake. And like, I grew up at the ocean. I like the ocean. I didn't go away to go to the lake. That's just, I don't know. I like, Andrew, I'm like you. Like you, I'm not a good surfer, but I love the option of, I'm going to rent a surfboard.
You guys should try to go to fucking Cocoa Beach, man, or Cape Canaveral. Cause like all of our rentals were literally a walk. Like you walk to the end of the block and there's a beach no matter what street you're on. And it's because it's such a long beach and it's pretty great.
That's a great option. Like we threw that out there because we saw how much we were spending on like a rental for the whole family. And I'm like, I think we could go to Aruba for the same price. Like because in Aruba, I thought Aruba was going to be semi-cheap if you went in August, because I thought no one would want to go to the Caribbean in August. That's not the popular time. It wasn't cheaper. I thought it was going to be. It was still cheaper to go to like, and all the rentals right now are, I think they're way up because everybody wants to be outside with Corona. It's like they can like ask top dollar from going to, you know, Montauk was an option, then Jersey Shore. Kind of upset me. I'll tell you something that upset. There's two things that upset me, and I love to like start problems with my family on my podcasts. Two things that my wife's sister and her husband said, and her and I, you should know this. You guys, people that are podcast listeners already know, like there's more friction with me and this sister of my wife and her husband than my wife's other sister, who's not coming on the vacation. Way less. They're going to Disney World or something. They don't have any money left, less friction. What do you mean? You know all of them, don't you?
I mean, no, I know Courtney.
Well, you know Courtney and her husband are the one there's more friction with. Like they're I call them strong Brooklyn types. I don't know if you've met those. They're very opinionated. Like the two things that they said that kind of upset me, and I'm sure I upset them with shit. But one of them was, she goes, I'm not going to Jersey. And I'm like, do you know I'm from there, right? Like the way she said it, we're not going to Jersey. Like, I hate people that say shit about somewhere that they've probably never been. Like, I don't think she's probably ever been to the Jersey Shore. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you mean that place that we have to walk two blocks to get right to the beach? And they have a boardwalk and great food everywhere we fucking look. And there's rides for the kids. What are you talking about? Like, I'm not going to Jersey. Just the way she said that, that upset me. And then her husband said, because we have a dog. We have a little King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. And her husband finally just said, I don't want to go away with a dog in the house. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I was like, why? You think I'm going to make you walk my dog? Like, you're not going to have to walk my dog. I'm not going to go, hey, here's some bags. Go pick up a shit. Go feed my dog. I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm going to take care of him. What's the big problem? He lays around and sleeps the whole time. Like, even though it would have been different if he said, I don't want a house where they allow dogs, because usually if they allow dogs, the houses are a little more run down. But he just said, I don't want to be on vacation with a dog. And I'm like, you know, we have one, right? Like, it was one of those. I was like, are you like, you know, when you feel like someone's on the spectrum? I'm like, are you on the spectrum? Like, you said that right to my face. I don't know.
Your dog is the chillest dog ever.
I know. That's what threw me. I was like, I don't have like a German shepherd that's going to attack you. And their kids love our dog. I'm like, I wanted to walk my dog on the beach. I just thought that would have been, he loves the ocean. I was like, all right, I guess I'm not bringing my dog. I was like, Jesus, you just took that out of the, I mean, my wife probably is glad that he said that, because our dog snores and my wife loses her shit over the snoring.
I'm dying to know what this house needs to have though still.
What the house still needs to have?
It needs to be close to the beach.
That was the number one thing I said.
Oh, was a criteria?
Yeah, like, and I love, my wife will send me a house that's 1.7 miles from the beach. I go, do you know, our daughter's 9. Do you think she's walking 1.7 miles to the beach with her shit? Dude, what are you talking about? I'm like,
Cocoa Beach is the move.
Yeah. Cocoa Beach? How much could you get a rental for 10 people down there? In August. You know how hot it would be down there in August?
Oh, yeah. I guess August sucks for that.
It would blow down there. And there's also hurricanes down there at that time.
Go during winter break next year.
Yeah, that's it.
Cocoa Beach is like the best place to be in Florida for a hurricane, because that's why they built the Space Center there, because it's like the least likely place in Florida to get hit by hurricanes.
Really? Little tidbit from Frankie. Did not know that. That's what I also read that about Aruba, that it's rarely hit by, I don't think it's been hit by a hurricane since like 1990.
Yeah.
Every 30 years.
It doesn't really get hit really bad there. Like, it kind of just like goes off the coast right at that point. And so that's why they built it there. But it's super cool to like see like rocket launches from the beach. It's cool.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Joe, we went surfing. We were out there surfing on a perfect day, best day for like longboarding for beginners. And then we're out there catching waves. And then we see fucking Elon Musk shooting a rocket as we're surfing. Like, we can see the thing blasting off.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It was so cool.
And I'm trying to think exactly where in geography, where in Florida is that?
It's like northeast of Orlando, like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
It's like straight east of Orlando.
Straight east.
Oh, okay. So it's probably like a place that's a little cooler than, you know, most Florida.
Yeah, it's south of Daytona. I mean, it still gets hot in August.
Right. Yeah, St. Augustine is nice too.
Or where's Jacksonville.
Is that where your parents?
Even like Georgia.
No. Georgia?
No.
Or Wilmington. Yeah. Wilmington.
Well, the problem is, I love Wilmington, North Carolina. When you have four, you know, first of all, you got 6 adults and 4 kids. When you put the airfare in, it just adds up really fast. And you got 10 people, and then you got to rent a place on top of it. Like Cape Cod, that was one of the reasons I always liked the Jersey Shore, because I was like, if you wanted to go to Long Beach Island, it's like an hour and a half away. Like when we go to Cape Cod, it's 4 hours.
That's crazy. LBI is awesome. I'd much rather go to LBI than Cape Cod. And I've never been to Cape Cod.
Yeah. Well, that's you sound like my sister-in-law. I'm not going to Jersey.
That's how I feel about Cape Cod.
Some people think everybody in Jersey is like a dumb asshole. I had to explain to her. I'm like, if you've ever gone to like Avalon or Stone Harbor, right? They're like super high end. Everybody there is from the main line of Philadelphia. They're from Pennsylvania. There's no one there from Jersey. It's all these really rich, like it looks like Connecticut people, really. So, I mean, I don't know what she means. Like when she hears Jersey, everybody thinks Jersey Shore is the show Jersey Shore. Like guys are just walking around doing this all day. It's not, but that stereotype is there.
Yeah. Margate is beautiful. That's where my buddy has a house and we've been there.
Very Jewish.
Yeah.
Margate is where I grew up going when I was like in my, that's where we went with like fake IDs when we were like 20. It was nice. A lot of like dance clubs there. Those were the days. But yeah, we had a rental once with I think it was like 4 or 5 guys in a 1-bedroom and all the beds were touching. You ever have one of those?
Yeah. So go down to like Seaside, Wildwood.
Yeah.
Just being like bunk beds.
Yeah.
In a house.
This was Margate. It was hilarious. You just be watching your friends having sex. You're like, ah shit, he's getting laid again. And you gotta like stand outside. Because I was always the friend that had no game and all. And
you wouldn't just join?
Nothing. No. My no, one
they
friend,
didn't invite you in?
I had the least game, and it was like I was just left out, which is hilarious. I had nothing, and my one friend was just had over game. Like, he was just always having sex nonstop. But, okay, so, I mean, that I just wanted to share that with you guys. You gave me good advice. Even you didn't really give me advice, but I know to back off. And I love my sister-in-law, and I love her husband. I'm just, you know, exaggerating it for the podcast. I have a feeling that she, you know, the good thing is the house that is close to the beach, she sent. So I'm like, that one. I don't, like, they're all worried that the sleeping arrangements suck, because they do. There's like, I said, I don't give a shit. If I get the house near that, if I can walk to the beach, I'll sleep on a couch for the whole week. I don't give a shit. I don't even have to sleep with my wife. You know, it's not like usually you don't. Sadly, you guys, maybe you'll get there in your relationship. You don't have sex usually when you're on a vacation with your family and they're right there and they're like in the next room or something. You just don't. Your wife's not in a sexual mood with her whole family like an inch from you. I don't know how you guys are, but I know.
Well, we were at her parents' house, and I was the one who was like, nah, I'm good.
You're like, I'm good.
And we were so far away. We were so far away.
But your brother's room was right there.
And it was
weirding me out. It was weirding me out.
That's fine. I respected that.
I had an old bit, or it was in a web series that I did where we filmed the acted out version, but my wife and I were so quiet while we were living, because we lived with my wife's mom for like 7 or 8 months, and we were so quiet, I said that you could hear her having sex now. So it was like worse, because now we heard her. And then she's dropping these subtle hints the next morning at breakfast that like she had sex, and it was weird, but that's what the joke was, because my wife's mom is real like loosey-goosey fun lady, you know.
Speaking of fun lady,
Is that a segue to Francesca's story? What do you got? What's going on?
Oh, that's you. That's not a great segue, Andrew, for this story.
She's got mold, baby.
Oh, mold. That's right. You got this apartment situation going on.
Yeah. So I'm living on my couch for 3 weeks now. So we got back from our vacation, our wonderful vacation in Florida and Mexico. And I get home at like 11 o'clock at night. I open my bedroom door. The smell hits me. I haven't even like put a bag down, and I'm like, there's a problem. And I take a few steps into my room, and my socks, I have carpet in my floor, and my socks get soaked. So I literally didn't have a moment to relax. And so I,
you have roommates?
Yeah, I have roommates.
Why'd you get so turned on?
Oh, slow down, dude.
So why'd you get so turned on?
Turned on by what?
Your socks got so.
It was the smell.
So your Your roommates didn't give you a heads up, or were you were there before them?
They didn't know what was happening.
Where were in they?
My room.
Oh, in just your room had it.
Just my room. Just my room. Oh.
The whole rug was soaked. So what was it?
The radiator was leaking.
And it leaked that much and it did the whole room? Or just around the radiator?
It's a pretty big room, so it came pretty far. Say like at that least is, like a five by five.
That's like a dad homeowner like bad dream. Like that's like something I get afraid of when you own a house that you're gonna come home to the like. Because I've had the leaky radiators before, and it scares the shit out of me when you own the house. But you're renting it, so did it ruin any of your shit?
Luckily, no. But it was so wet. I just was like, there's no way this isn't going to be a problem, like a long problem.
Right. So what did they do? So what was your immediate thing? Like call the landlord. What did he say?
Yeah. So I called them in the morning and he came upstairs and basically gaslit me.
Well, you got to paint the picture. Her landlord has no arms and no legs.
What? Are you serious? Is he kidding? I believed you. I was like, what?
He does live downstairs, though.
Okay.
I live in a house, so it's like a multi-family house. It's not an apartment.
So it's a multifamily house. He lives in it. So is this something he's like, oh, it happened again? Like, did he know it was a bum radiator?
I think so. But this is probably the worst it ever leaked. And it's probably just because I left it on while I was gone.
You usually shut your radiator off when you're not there?
I don't know. I didn't think I had to, but
no, you don't
have to.
You shouldn't have to. I leave my radiators on the same thing all year round.
Yeah. So he came upstairs and I was like, the floor is wet. And I would be like, hey, the floor is wet. Like I felt like I did such a good job finding all the wet spots. Like I was so proud of myself to like show him how diligent I was in like solving this problem. And I'm like, yeah, these are the wet spots. And he literally would like look at me in the eye and touch other spots and be like, it's dry.
So it's like, he's playing poker with you. That's hilarious.
I was like, oh boy. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to come fix the radiator on Saturday and I'll check under the carpet and see what's going on. So I was like, all right, that's all I could do today. But I was like, I'm not sleeping in there because who the fuck knows what's growing under there.
Right.
So I slept on the couch.
Here's another old guy question. Was it new carpet or is it like old carpet?
They put it in before I moved in, so it's like 2.5 years old.
It's pretty new then. Okay, it's not something you just want to rip it out and throw it away. It's kind of new. Okay.
Yeah, totally. He was attached to that carpet.
Like, fuck.
Yeah. They just got engaged. It was a new relationship. He loved it. So.
Did he wet vac it? Do you know what that is?
Oh, I wish he wet vac'd it.
He never wet vac'd it. He just let it dry?
Nope.
What'd he do?
He came on Saturday, fixed the radiator, pulled the carpet up, put it down, told me everything's fine. The radiator's fixed. And I said, what about the wet carpet? He's like, it's wet because it's wet. Okay. And I'm like, I can't live on a wet carpet. And I asked if there was mold. And he's like, no. So I pulled up the carpet in the corner. The baseboards were fucking covered in mold. Covered in mold.
Really? So it's happened a million times. It's that's not from one time.
Yeah. So like, oh, like how, like you're just going to fucking walk away and be like, you're good. You're good.
And how long you live there?
2.5 years.
Oh, wait. So you think it's happened before while you were there and you just didn't notice? You would have noticed.
Well, I think it was dripping last year, but not obviously this bad.
So was the mold only in the corner?
If the mold is visible on the baseboards, like you couldn't even see the color of the wood anymore.
Uh-huh.
That it had it. Like I was like, it has to be moldy elsewhere. I'm not an expert, so I was like, I demanded a mold inspection.
Sure. And did you take pictures of it?
Oh, I took pictures, videos. I like documented everything.
Good, good.
I was like, I'm calling my lawyer that I don't have.
Did you say that to the guy?
Yeah.
That I don't have.
What's the Instagram again for your mold?
What?
Didn't you make an Instagram account specifically just for the mold?
No.
Oh.
That's the thing now, though. Like,
what, the thing I posted today?
No, I thought you made like a @moldycarpetbrooklyn on Instagram.
Well, I was going to say that that's what's great about today's technology. Like, that's the great positive of it. I remember hearing Jim Norton say this, that was one of his favorite things about having a morning radio show when he used to be on Opie and Anthony and it was really popular. If someone ever crossed him, he could take them down so easily and quickly with the power of having a radio show. And now with technology, I don't know if you saw this recently. I think, Andrew, you and I were talking about it because we were up in Fairfield, Connecticut. There was some like business guy that lost his shit at some like smoothie place and yelled at the girls behind the counter and said like semi-racist things and threw his smoothie at this like teenage girl and almost hit her with it. And the one girl that was working there was just filming the whole thing. And within 24 hours, the whole video was like viral. And then they doxed the guy. They put like his address and they put his whole, they put his LinkedIn page on the video, and like he like got fired from his job right away. Like you can take people down with video now and pictures. Like,
didn't they burn him to death and eat him?
yeah, they did. They ate him like that movie Alive. But I mean, are you the only renter in the whole 3-family house or whatever it is?
No, there's like 2 other apartments, but
do you know the people who lives in there, and have they had any issues with the landlord?
That we've had lots of issues with them.
Oh, really?
They're just very like weird people. They're like, you can't have parties. They'll like come upstairs if we're like being too loud, that kind of vibe. Like, literally, like, imagine like living at your grandma's house is basically, see the wallpaper? Great. You're living at your grandma's house.
I was going to make fun of the wallpaper, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I lived in a similar situation.
Not my design choice.
I lived in Astoria, Queens, in a couple of different, but one of them was like that. And I had jokes about her back in the day. This is 20, 25 years ago, you know, where every little thing, what, I can hear something upstairs. Like, you would walk in your socks and she'd have a problem. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to leave. You can't live in those 3-family, those houses that a lot of people rent out apartments in. They seem nice, but then the difficulty outweighs the niceness or the cheapness of the apartment. I'd rather live in a building.
Before COVID, I was living with this old lady, this old Puerto Rican lady, and she would like, I was just renting a room in her apartment with this other kid, and she would like come in my room and like clean my room because I was dirty. And she was just like super, she would like make you clean the stove after every time you cooked. Like, but on the plus side, she would make me fried chicken and rice sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say the old ladies, or the, I think it was a husband and wife when I lived in Astoria, Queens, in a 3-family house. And she would give me shit for walking around and making too much noise. And then the next day she'd feel bad and there'd be all this food hanging from a plastic bag on my doorknob. Like, she would just make me shit and give it to me. Nice. I'm so sorry, you know, so you'd hang in. But
I used to live above this old like crackhead lady in Florida, and we had a big mango tree in our yard, but it was like a open yard so people could walk through. And every morning she would go out and collect all the mangoes and leave them on my porch. She'd be like, we got to get the mangoes before everyone else does. And just would like leave bags of mangoes for me. That was the only nice thing she did.
So how much longer do you have on the lease?
Till September. But I think I was victorious in the end of this, what has happened. So I don't know. They actually asked me to not stay after my lease was up. They basically, within this, when I demanded to get a mold inspection, they're like, you could not live here next year. So that was really nice.
They apologized to you.
They have apologized to me since, but I literally had to take the moldy baseboards and shake them in my landlord's face. I was like, this is mold.
Really? Why is he so mean? Like, why is he like that?
They just were like, they didn't want to deal with this. And I was like, you can't pretend like this isn't happening now. And then they pulled out the carpet themselves, and the carpet was wet, the padding was wet, the vinyl was wet, the hardwood was wet and moldy. And then finally, when the mold inspector guy's like, yeah, this is a big problem, you need someone to clean this professionally. And then she was like, I'm so sorry, Ruva is so mean.
Oh my God. Did you tell them you were going to get your boyfriend to kick their asses? You know karate, right, Andrew?
Yeah, I know karate, but it doesn't work on Caribbean people. I just beat my ass with sheer and determination.
You can't scare him?
Nah.
Yeah. God, that's an awkward situation. So what's the plan? You're just going to hang in and then leave in September? Or you can't break the lease because then you'll lose your – how much security deposit you got down there?
Like $1,100.
Is it worth losing the $1,100 to get a new place?
I just don't want to move. I didn't want to move next year, but yeah, now I kind of have to. But I'm going to, now that they apologize, once the carpet's in and everything's done, I'm going to be like, do I still have to leave next year? And make them say no and then leave anyway.
For spite.
I'm going to make them beg me to stay and then I'm still going to go.
When are you guys getting married? I mean, is there a plan for you guys to live together at some point? Or are you going to live separately as a married couple?
I think that's ideal, honestly.
Do it.
No,
I think you keep a studio in Manhattan. I'll keep a studio in Brooklyn. It's beautiful.
Hell no.
Cost more.
I would have a studio in the same building, but two studios in the same building. But no further than that.
Will Andrew still get the medical insurance from your job if you lived in separate places?
I think so. And I could still live in my best Golden Girls life, which I'm living right now.
She's living with witches. She's in a part of a coven. You know, she does spells to make my sperm infertile.
Some might call it a cult.
You live with a cult. That's next episode. Jeez, there's a lot going on here in this apartment, everybody. I'm going to have to somehow segue into Andrew.
I'd like to leave, but I can't. So
all of a sudden, there's like this hand that comes in.
Yeah, I'll tell my story next time because I feel like we're going.
No. We got 12 minutes, dude. I like a good 60-minute episode's good. We're at 48.
I don't know, man. I don't want to. First of all right, I'll talk about it.
Come on, man. We got to cover all three of us. That's the goal. We already kind of
talked about it. You have to talk about it.
I have no fucking energy right now.
I'll tell you a story.
What were you talking about at the end of your?
You're talking about old comedy tricking people.
How's that? You feel better now?
Yeah, I feel great.
That's Brian Christopher, by the way, on guitar. All right, now you're good. You're good. All right, what do you got?
Okay, so I was trying to. I did this show on Friday. I'm trying to get more physical, Joe, like you. I'm trying to be like my mentor and get more physical on stage.
You know, you know, and the key to comedy is to not try to be like somebody else. So I don't even think I'm physical. So,
but I'm not trying to be like you. I'm just trying to like, because it's part of myself. You know, I'm a very, I like moving around. I was a hyperactive kid, and I feel like there's a part of me that is a physical part of me that's trapped in like self-consciousness and like being. You know, because I got in trouble a lot as a kid. So I think I started equating moving around a lot and being active with getting in trouble. So I shut that part of myself down, I think, you know, so I could like have some semblance of normalcy in my life.
Well, I knew you were doing this clown school, so that must connect with that, right? I mean,
yeah.
Unless, you must move around like a maniac in clown school.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, and I had like a little one-on-one clown class with my buddy. Shout out to Ed Malone, the clown guru. Yeah.
I've been to clown class.
What are you doing clown class, by the way?
Fucking.
What's an assignment?
Like baby, you cry like a baby. We dance like pretend. A baby to get poo. You know,
pretend to be a plumber.
You had to be a plumber?
I had to be a plumber.
You're in this class together?
We've done it once together. I went one time. I'd go back though, honestly. I was into it.
That's probably fun. How many people are in the class?
Usually like 6 to 8.
Really? And it's like a 2-hour class? And
you 2 or 3 hours.
3 hours is long.
Does he assign work, like homework that you have to bring back the next week?
No. But he's teaching at Purchase now, mostly. But anyway, you know, I'm just trying to be less self-conscious and be like, utilize all of my personality.
Right.
And so I was working on that at the show, but I also have this other bit that's kind of alt-y, which is what I thought of when you said the LA alt thing that you miss. And it's where I, in the beginning of my set, not to start, but like early on, I say something like, you know, hey, my dad, when he was a kid, I told this story on a podcast. My dad like beat me with a fucking wallet. And then my mom got angry because she didn't want me to be scared of money. So she gave him a bubble wand and he beat me with a bubble wand. And now I have a fear of bubbles. And I told this story on a podcast. Now people are showing up at my show and blowing bubbles at me. And I just don't like it. So please, if you're planning on doing that, don't do that. And then, you know, I give someone some bubbles to blow.
which has been me a couple times.
That's funny. That reminds me of the other bit where you played the weird sound effect where you're going, did you hear that?
Yeah.
And that was great when you did that in Connecticut because the crowd was like, what the like, they didn't know you were fucking kidding. They were like, what is that? They like went with it.
Usually they go with it. But anyway.
So I love shit like that.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know how to break the tension because when she blew the bubbles, everyone was just like, wait, what? They didn't. And I didn't have a good joke for it to like, because I don't necessarily want to give away the fact that I told her to do that. But I also don't want it to just be like completely distracting for the rest of the show. I don't want to end on a non-laugh and I don't want to keep going and like have people be thinking about that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Completely. So I don't know. I'm still working on it. But
so, I mean, my advice, and you can take it or leave it. I always think you got to commit to something, especially as a comedian. And I like, if you're going to like, for instance, if you're going to do like weird little things like that, you should do a whole bunch of them in one set. It shouldn't be like one for like 10 seconds and then you just do a regular stand-up act after that. You know what I mean? It's like some of my favorite comics, and it's funny, they were all West Coast guys when I lived out in LA for a short time. I remember there was this comedian, I think his name was Brian Lynch or something Lynch. He did one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. It was so weird. He had a tape recorder or maybe just like an iPhone or something with a recording on it of him. And he was like lip syncing his own like act. Right.
Oh yeah.
So it would go off every once in a while. Like he did it so well and it had crowd work in it, which was hilarious because there's no way to pre-record crowd work. So he like did it in a way that like the crowd could tell that this was pre-recorded. At first you couldn't tell. And then all of a sudden he's like, you, and like he would like lip sync it pretty good in the front row. What do you wear? And he's like doing crowd work that he pre-recorded with this thing. And I was like, in LA, that shit kills. You do it in Connecticut at Fairfield. They're like, what the fuck? It's just, that's what I hate about comedy here. I'm like, why can't people love it? Because it's so outside the box. Like that's where I think I've said this about like, what the hell's his name? Who is the comedian. All his jokes are really like off color on purpose. And he was dating Amy Schumer for a while, and he had his own show on Comedy Central. Jeselnik.
Oh, Jeselnik.
Jeselnik commits that every joke's off, like, is really like awful. That every joke's outside the box and inappropriate, right? Yeah. But he does all jokes like that. So it's like he commits, almost every joke is pushing the boundaries.
But they're smart and they're not political. So he gets away with it.
Yeah. And they're really funny. But he commits to it. And you can't get offended because it's like you're offended by that joke. Wait till you hear the next one. And then the next one after that. And then the next one after that. So after he does like two or three, they're in. They're just used. Nothing can offend them now. They're just used to it. So it's like Andy Kaufman. He would do really weird shit, but he didn't ever mix in normal. Like, I would love to see you. Like, when you think of these weird outside, that's what your whole act should be. You should, like, you know what I almost was, I was going to give you a little note when you did the show with me in Connecticut. And I was just, it's just something I wanted you to try once, which is not laugh. Like, when a comedian smiles and laughs, you could, like, if you're going to fuck with them, like, have your act be fucking with them. But if you laugh, they know that you're in on knowing that it's a joke. Like, keep them off balance is something I've only seen a few comedians in my whole career. And it cracked me the fuck up when guys did that, when that was like this guy, like, and I've said this about you before too. I go, I could see you doing really well as an actor, you know, as a character on a show or something like that. So like that. And if you do shit like that in your stand up, it shows the skill. And I think you have that skill of, I'm not going to break. Like, you're not going to know if I'm, you're not going to know. Like how Andy Kaufman, still people are like, is he still alive? Like, he fucked with people so good, they think he's still alive.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to like really rack my brain to come up with 5 or 10 minutes even of stuff. Well,
you can you can just do some weird jokes in between it. But don't ever like laugh. Like, don't maybe just try not laughing and be a little bit weirder, you know? It's like you're already going up there with your hair kind of crazy and trying to look a little like, so be crazy. Make them like off balance.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it would work, but especially when you're doing 6 minutes at most places, that's where you experiment with it. You got the two bits, come up with like two more of those where they're like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, the problem is both of those bits take fucking preparation. They can't be done over and over again at open mics. And it's like, I need to find either have a friend in the audience who's willing to do it and is halfway competent
With the bubbles.
Yeah. Or just have an audience member. And that's like a pain in the ass to like find an audience member, get there early enough to have, like, talk to an audience member, you know. It's like a whole,
well, yeah, maybe you just, you know, you do them a couple times and then you know you have it and you don't need to keep doing it over and over at an open mic.
Yeah, but then what do I do for 5 minutes if I'm trying to be weird and funny? And
I don't know if you need to be weird, it's just you need to have a keep coming up with new ones and know really fast after you do them like once or twice, you're like, that one's good. You'll know.
Yeah.
People love the bubbles. They were so excited about the bubbles. Somebody came up to me after and was like, I can't believe you really brought bubbles. Like, they didn't know that we were together. And he was like, that's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's so weird and it seems so basic. It's like, it's weird. Like, I send my son these motivational videos every once in a while. And I always think I'm annoying. And my wife's like, don't stop doing it though. Cause when he gets older, he's going to remember. She's like, just keep doing it. Like every time I saw something, let me think what it was. She's, I'm so bad with my brain lately, dude. I really think I have that. I don't have Lyme, but I'll get into that next week. But I'm trying to remember what it was that I sent him today that I heard somebody say. You know who it was? It was Jackie Chan, which is weird that he would be inspirational.
Yeah.
That guy won an Oscar, which I did not know. Do you know? Do you have any idea what he won an Oscar for? Did he get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he did this Shakespeare, but it was like making fun of Chinese people.
Dude, that was like a lob, and you just like smashed it out of the park. Jackie Chan, in this quick speech that he gave that I sent to my son, Stallone's in the audience, and he talked about going to Stallone's house like a really long time ago and seeing his Oscars, and he was like holding them and saying, I know I'm never going to get one of these, and how his dad used to bust his balls like, you did 200 movies, but when are you getting an Oscar? Like, his dad was real like typical, like stereotypical, like Asian hard on him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he finally got one. And basically, I mean, what I took from this speech, you can find it online, people go look it up, was just like, and why it sounds so simple. And it's not, because when it's comedy, it's like to find that one thing that you want to do. And you go, this is it. I found my thing. And now I'm just locking into it where everything feeds into this one thing. Because I sent my son this. I go, once you find what you want to do, just go get it. Like, just go do it. The hard part is finding the thing. So it's the same with doing stand-up. Like, once you, if you find that that's your thing, it becomes easy to come up with bits for it. Because right. You got one thing now. And every time you go, oh, let me try this one. Oh, here's another one for that. Oh, this one could mess with them. You know, it's like, I bet Andy Kaufman, I mean, that would be a great question they could have asked him. How hard is it to come up with all these like goofy things that you do? Singing the Mighty Mouse theme, or what was it that he sang to the record?
Yeah, that was that for sure.
So, I mean, if that's naturally where your brain goes, you probably will write bits that way easier than you'll write the regular stuff.
True, true. Yeah. And then I guess, you know, cycle out the regular material or just use it until if I have a special, and then just burn it all.
Yeah. But don't fuck with them and laugh afterwards. That's kind of like if you were watching David Copperfield do an amazing trick and then he was like, look how I did it. Like, no, don't, no. Keep them off balance. Like, but yeah, just don't laugh. That's just
I have trouble not laughing.
yeah. Like Jim Florentine. What's so great about those cranky anchor. You ever listen to him do the cranky anchor stuff?
Yeah.
Where he fucks with people over. I mean, cause he never laughs or ever breaks. I mean, I guess what's great about when you're doing that in recording or on a show, you just, if you laugh, you edit it out, no one ever sees it. But on stage, it's hard. You laugh.
Yeah.
If you gave yourself something to focus on of being odd, it might be easier to not laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, I need to go.
You're exhausted.
I'm fucking tired, man.
I feel like I'm giving great advice here for no reason.
No, you are. I'm taking it to heart. I want to go think about it.
Do you agree with me, Francesca? Or, I mean, you see him perform way more than I do.
Yeah, I told him on Friday, I think it was, when I felt like I was like, that was awesome. People loved it. There's something there. Like, you got it. And so I think what you're saying is right. It's like, if you got it, you got it. You know, you don't have to do it 100 times.
It was the bubbles thing. Is that what everybody you're talking thing. About? You were like, dude,
yeah, this, but this like, is it. Even if you don't do that same thing, I was like, you thought of that. You executed it once. Like, you're going to keep making stuff up. Even then after, we were like fucking around on the train and holding gloves and pretending to shake an invisible man's hand and just doing weird shit. And I'm like, you'll just keep thinking of stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you make it your thing, it'll become really easy. What's he got in his hand? Right now?
There you go. Get it. You got to come over more.
That would have been funny if that
Why am I still zoomed in, Joe?
That would have been funny if it was just like your ball sack was all of a sudden on there. We're like, I didn't mean that. He's like holding your ball sack. What is that? Is that your leg? Is that your shoe? I can't even tell what it is.
His roommate. I'm also zoomed Henry. In,
Joe.
You're not zoomed in. You look exactly the same.
I'm fucking 4 feet from my laptop right now.
Really?
How close I look.
You want me to change it?
I don't know.
There you go.
I guess that's better.
There you go. Wait, what else can we do? That's all. Oh, that's really zoomed in. Look how, geez, I'm bursting into flames.
All right, we gotta end this fucking thing.
Yeah, that's how our podcasts end. You know how we end it, right? You just turn the music on. All right, everybody. Episode 51 in the can. My first couple on the show. I like this. I like this week. You guys are great. What do you?
Andrew, you got any? You got any plugs?
Yeah,
we were at Adora Olay tomorrow night. I don't know if this will be out in time in New York City. And I don't know what else besides that. I don't have much.
He's never gonna laugh again.
Yeah, I have shows in March. You could see me at the Bitter End on March 4th and 18th at midnight. So come get turned up at midnight. That's fun.
Bitter End? Like was that closed for a long time? That's like a famous venue.
It's great. They do shows. My buddy Jimmy does shows. Show.
Yeah, the Jimmy People Show. That's a super fun show. And then on March 23rd, 8:30, Adora Leigh, UG Comedy Show. I'll be on that as well.
Wait, I want to plug one more. I got Pop Collar in Brooklyn on February 26th.
And where do these people get tickets to these? Are these? Do you guys both have websites?
Yeah, just go on my Instagram, at Andrew Steiner without the A.
And what's your Instagram?
It's at Frankie, Frankie, Meow, Meow, 101. But I also have, that's not.
What happened?
I have another one, but I am not, I always use the wrong one. I have Francesca Maglione Comedy is the one you should actually go to.
Go find her there, everybody. And just come to my show February 12th. I said it at the beginning. In Mount Laurel, New Jersey, joematteris.com. Big show for Valentine's Day. It's a Saturday. Got a little after party included in the ticket with Angelo from MCM DJs. Going to spin some music and people can dance their night away on Valentine's
Day. Sit on a Sibian.
There's going to be a Sibian there. It's great. So that's joematteris.com for February 12th, Mount Laurel. I'm laughing. The fucking Sibian. All right, guys. We'll just make the music go loud. That's how we end it.
So long. Good night.